Move into the director's report right now. So, Director?
Thank you, Chair Smith, and I'll try to catch us up a little bit here, and I'm going to pass it off to Joe to give a little more detailed walk through our budget as well. So you have the director's report in your folder, so I won't go into a lot of stuff that's already in the written report. I will highlight that we are preparing for leg session, obviously. We've had Senate and House assembly days and have done a few workshops and have met with virtually all of the leadership, so we're establishing the relationships, or I'm trying to build those relationships to carry our budget requests through the next step. You've heard a lot about wolves, and I will just remind the commission that we have two open lethal removal orders on wolves. The smack out pack is on evaluation period, so nothing active happening there. The Togo pack, we have a permit to the landowner, his family, and employees to remove wolves only if they're on his private property within the fence line with cattle present. So it's really an opportunity for him to protect his cattle. And on the old profanity territory, the order was issued. We tried several attempts, about 10 or a dozen with the helicopter, and decided it was time to take a pause. And we have are trying to figure out when and if to go back on that pack. Just so, always a lot of communication around wolves, just a reminder where we're at with the removal piece. Getting ready for North Falcon, obviously. We have a separate briefing on that. I will touch a little bit on the town halls. We completed the town hall meetings, six meetings, one in each region, plus a webinar. We also had a meeting with the cattle producers of Washington that turned into basically a town hall. It was a public meeting with 60 or 70 folks showing up. So I'll count that one in there, too, take some credit for that one. It was a lot of heat in that one, so I'll take the credit for that one. Virtually, we hear about wolves at all of them. I won't go any further than that. I'll just give some ideas of the themes we heard. Access is a big deal on both sides. Fees, our fee increase brings, it wasn't at every meeting, but it was a subject of interest, I will say at least, generally related to the lack of opportunity, lack of access around, so as an obstacle to supporting a fee increase. Hatchery production, obviously, is always a conversation as well. The area I wanted to highlight, though, that we heard virtually at every meeting, and I think is a place where there's perceptions in the public that I'm not sure we're aligned with and we need to get aligned, and that's around our ungulate population and predators. There is an overwhelming belief out there that our ungulate populations have been decimated by predators, not just wolves, cougars in particular. We did a presentation with the Assistant Director for Wildlife at the Natural Ag Committee, basically at the House. I think it's an area I've asked for additional briefings on both the ungulate population, our survey methods, and the cougar methods. I think we need to do a much better job to see if we're really, are we completely at odds with what the perception is? Are we aligned with the perception is? But right now we seem to be going in two different directions, and it comes up at virtually every meeting. So it's one of those areas where I think we could gain a lot of ground just by taking it head on. And it's going to be a lot of work because predators, apex predators, are always get a lot of attention, as we've heard today. On the budget front, the governor releases budget at the highest level. We, as you know, we asked for a $31 million maintained package. That's to fill our budget hole. The governor's budget fully funds that, so that's good news for us. We also had the enhanced package, where we asked for about $28 million. The governor's budget covers about $10 million of that, especially that lines with the ORCA. And then under ORCA, we just had a placeholder and worked with OFM on actual cost estimates. And there's about $12 million in there for ORCA as well. So overall, a good budget for us. It's the first step in the budget process, so there's a lot of sausage making to come, but it's a good start for us. We also have a little over $100 million in the governor's budget on the capital side. So it just came out yesterday. Joe spent a little more time with it, and so Joe was going to kind of walk you through a little more line by line.
Yeah, thank you, Director, and morning, Commissioners. We got our hands on the budget about midday yesterday, and so as we speak, some of our budget staff are working their way through the details, and you should see an email memo from us in the next couple of hours that provide a lot of detail, so I won't because I haven't gone through it with a fine-tooth comb, I won't cover everything. But first, I want to just say that I think this session and this budget, we were as prepared as I've ever seen us. And I wanted to thank Nate Pamplin for his leadership and all of the staff. This was a full agency, full tilt kind of effort for most of a year. And so I want to, you know, thank the staff for all the work they did. Our budget policy advisory group put a lot of time in, got to know us really well, were and are very supportive of what we submitted, and that has made a big difference. And then thank the OFM policy office, JT Austin in particular, and Jim Cahill and Leslie Connolly from the OFM budget side. They were with us all through this process and knew what we were up to, and I think that was a big part of why we got such strong support from the governor. As the director mentioned, this is just the beginning of the process. We'll see four budgets like we do every budget year. Governor's budget comes out in the middle of December after quarterly revenue forecasts are complete usually. And then around the end of February, early March, following the February forecast review, we'll see a House and a Senate budget. So that's 2 and 3. And then finally, a budget hopefully in the middle of April, early part of April, that closes out the session if we get it all done, if the legislature gets it all done within the regular time frames. Budget, as the director said, is a great start. Overall, our budget goes up about $70 million. About 43 of that, I believe, is general fund. As the director indicated, all of our maintain packages, the $31 million hole was funded. And on the enhancement side, we received support for four additional enforcement officers to look at HPAs, the killer whale task force recommendations, et cetera, you know, enhance our presence out there. We received a small $800,000 increase on developing access to private lands for hunting. We had a $6.8 million package around enhanced fishing. And you've seen the details of that. There are a number of activities that are covered in that. That's contingent on, again, the license fee bill passing for that portion of those dollars that are related to license fees. And the governor has also accepted, you know, that it has that support for that fee bill as part of this whole process. And then the RFEGs actually got about twice what they were asking for in the operating budget. So there's a nice support for the regional fishery enhancement groups. Several packages related to orca recovery, and I believe these are contingent on the passage of some increased B&O taxes, capital gains taxes, as proposed by the governor, that would be part of the general fund, and so these would be general fund dollars out of the prey working group. So that's a lot about salmon production, but a number of other activities there. And then the vessel piece, largely our enforcement, and there's some rule making that would have to go on there. There's also a requirement for us to lead the discussion around the Snake River dams in terms of convening a group to look at the future of Snake River dams. So that's going to be quite a chore. There's funding in there for employee raises. The union contract negotiation resulted in 2-3% per year raises next biennium, and so there's some dollars there, but we worry about that because a lot of our fund sources, it's difficult to get increase in funding. It's a fixed amount contract, for instance, and so we got to see how much of those increases we would need to cover. And I think that's it pretty much. So just a pretty healthy budget. You should see a lot more details soon. And as the director said, you know, on our capital budget, we have something short of $107 million. Last or this current biennium, I think Our budget award was about $60 million, so a hefty increase on the capital side. Of that $107, I believe 60-plus, let me check that. Yes, yeah, $62 million of that potential $107 is related to hatchery improvements. So again, a big part of the hatchery focus that we have this biennium. And so we're real happy. We did not, the one piece of the capital budget that we did not receive funding for was the Pioneer Park hatchery. And so we're trying to look into that and find out some more background on that. So with that, I'd answer any questions that I that you might have that I can answer.
Thank you, Joe. Questions? Yes, Bob. Yeah.
Thanks, Joe. And I'm sure the rest of the commission, myself included, interested in seeing more of the details. And I, too, want to thank staff. It was a lot of work, a lot of hours went into getting the department in a position to make a very favorable put us in a favorable position to ask for such a big ask. And so so not only the members of our staff, but also members of the public, specifically the budget BPAG, I think it is, the that group, those folks spent a lot of time and hours and was very helpful. So, but my question is on that $31 million maintain package, is any of that contingent on the passage of the fee increases that we imposed? If you don't know the details, that's fine. We'll wait. But I'm just curious because just because we have it in the governor's budget, of course, we got a long way to go. So I'm just curious on that aspect.
I don't believe so, Commissioner Kehoe.
Okay, good.
Oh. Nate's corrected me. He says some of it is. So.
Some of it is. Okay.
So more detail to come. Thanks, Nate.
Carpenter.
I have a quick question, Joe. I just want to, I want to get the terminology straight and then maybe some rationale. I've heard, I think, it's called the Deschutes Hatchery. I've heard it called Tumwater Falls, and I believe you called it Pioneer Park. Is it all one and the same?
The Tumwater Falls is the area where there's a current park now, and we have a holding pond there where we receive fish back and harvest them by the Falls Terrace restaurant. If you go upriver, not too far, there's a large grassy set of soccer fields and park. That's Pioneer Park.
Okay.
Deschutes is when we say Deschutes, it's synonymous with Pioneer Park.
Okay. So the possibility of increasing a new hatchery and creating a bunch more additional Chinook in that area is not on the docket for this current budget.
It's not in the governor's budget at this point.
Mr. Baker.
Sorry. Joe, the note that we got from the Capitol director yesterday said that it was in the budget. So is that just might be something that we would.
Yeah, that was an early mistake.
Okay, he forgot the not word. Okay, yeah, I've done that.
Typo.
So I just want to thank everybody as well. And this is sort of the platitude part. I know it's tiresome, but this is very timely and very important. The difference between last budget cycle not getting the $30 million we needed, getting a $10 million one-time plug and then a whole bunch of assignments, and this year being able to at least fund our ongoing obligations with a $30 million ongoing appropriation, even if it is in a governor's budget, is incredible. And that is due to staff, our director, and Nate. But I believe that it's really due to people like you, the Budget and Policy Group, and the people they represent. And the issue and turbulence is just starting, not ending. So what I want to say is thank you very much for whatever support you've given us in order to get this far, and that's really just a prelude to please keep it up, because we are facing many challenges. On the flip side, I want to say for all of us that the testimony today was great, and we learn a lot, and I think I obligate all of us to really listening and doing the best work we can. So thank you very much.
Commissioner Grayville.
I'm going to echo a lot of what Commissioner Baker just said, and thank Nate and his staff. My fourth year on the commission, I've never felt so engaged and up to speed and aware of the challenges and the needs of the department. Budget, I'm not a numbers guy, but you really did a good job of keeping us on top of things, and I've never been more comfortable with a budget submission than I was this year, and I think that that was not just me, but I'm one of those ripples out there. And Nate, huge job to take on. And excellent work. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Let me also just, before I ask the question, add to the thanks to everybody. This is not bad news. It's not neutral news. This is good news. I mean, we had bad news last time. This time, it's not even neutral. It's good. So, I mean, that's just excellent to hear. My question has to do with the hatchery component of the southern resident killer whale thing, and I'm looking at the news release from the governor's office yesterday, and again, earlier on one of our conference calls, we were thanking the chairman, who's our representative on the task force, and the department, the people who were there, and then we've heard some other folks that were there as well, and the last speaker talked about the immediate, so to speak, benefit of having an infusion of hatchery Chinook for prey purposes, because the habitat fixes and the consideration at the dams and the rest of that are decades in terms of benefit. And if we have killer whales that are starving to death right now, you know, we need to do something in the immediate thing. Reading from this, it looks like there's $12 million in operational funds provided for the now time frame, and $75.7 million for capital improvements at hatcheries. So the longer, you know, the next 3 to 10 year period is in there. It's not clear in the news release, which is kind of skimpy, whether or not this is considered to be insulating against any trade-offs against the normal budget. So there's a dependence apparently on some tax increases, and so not for a question for right now, but at our next meeting or maybe during the wrap-up, if you could try to track down what kind of insulation there is between this proposal that's consistent with the September 7th motion of the commission and this good news about covering the $31 million hole and the rest of it.
Yeah, we can take a look at that, Commissioner, and get back to you.
Chair. In Joe's report, he said that the department was tasked with gathering up the science for removal of the Snake River dams. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. There's language in the orca-related prey package that was kind of a surprise to us, frankly.
Okay, I guess just living where I live is just remind staff that they're to be the referee and not engaged in the game, because there again, there's going to be plenty of angst already in our part of the world, and there again, real or perceived, if it comes down that the department is advancing removal of Snake River dams, the science is what it is. I'm good with that. But they've got to be very clear and precise that they're calling it as they see it and not being opinionated on the thing.
Yep. Thank you, Commissioner. Message received.
Very good. We are running late, so thank you all. Thank you, Director. That was a good report.